The Triple M Rush Hour podcast brought to you by Sportsbet's new racing form with animated speed maps, runner comments and expert tips courtesy of Best Bets. Gamble responsibly.
Hey guys, your favourite podcast is just seconds away, but what if you could listen to it without worrying about using data? Got an offer for you right now. If you go to ilovedata.com.au, you're going to get 50 gigs of data for only $59.95 a month. There's no contracts, there's no catches. It's ilovedata.com.au. Open that up on your browser now, and let's get into the podcast.
Tonight, Mark Bosnich is in. We'll get his take on some of the big issues from the week, and naturally, there'll be some football chat. Big signings by the Dragons and the Rabbitohs, updates from the one-day final, more Wallabies changes, and Tiger Woods talks about his struggles and his striking answer about winning more majors.
Welcome to the Rush Hour.
And it's being reported in the last 5 minutes on the Telegraph and the Courier Mail website, Benji Marshall officially a Brisbane Bronco. So that's a one-year deal that apparently is done. Hello, Boz.
Good evening, Dan. How are you? Hello, my listeners. How are you? Sorry it's been so long.
Now,
I've trained before I come in. I'm buzzing.
Last week. Now, you're a bit off.
I wasn't happy this morning.
No, you weren't happy. Okay, all right. Yeah. Go on. What's bothered you?
Well, I went out on my balcony on Sydney Harbour, and it was like a sandstorm coming towards us. I was like, the world was ending. What's going on? And they're burning off as preventative measures. Listen, guys, I understand in a way, but number one, it'd be nice to get a warning. And number two, preventative measures, that's what you're there to fight fires. Yeah?
Hang on. 20 years ago.
Yes.
20 years ago, they learnt their lesson because they didn't back burn and the state nearly went up.
Did it?
So they said, in 94, the big bushfires, and then there was another one a few years later.
Right.
But I'm with you.
Oh, well, give us a warning,
they seem to pick the wrong day to do it.
I'm waking up in the morning. I thought the world was ending.
But they backburn every year. But this year they keep stuffing up the days because they do it with either
we've
there's
got
no
all
wind.
The technology in the world. There are still things that happen like this. Anyway, it doesn't matter. I got over it. Ask me how I got over it.
How did you get over it?
I had a cigar.
This is the Rush Hour on Triple M. We'll get to some sport after this.
The Triple M Rush Hour podcast brought to you by Sportsbet's new racing form with animated speed maps, runner comments and expert tips courtesy of Best Bets. Gamble responsibly.
Triple M. It is the Rush Hour getting you home on a Monday. It's been a long week on a Friday night. Now, I'm just trying to get a score here. Look, we don't often spend time on the Matador Barbecues One Day Cup, but we are into the finals here.
Are we?
Yes, this is New South Wales versus Victoria.
Marvellous.
A winner plays Queensland on Sunday.
How many people are there?
Oh, at least...
12.
And he doesn't mean thousands.
This is a national one-day competition, right, between the states?
Yes.
I just want to know. That's all. I just want to just clarify. That's all.
They'll get 5,000 on...
I'm sure we'll get a report about it from Malcolm Conn.
Victoria. Love it when you're in this mood. Victoria all out 242 at Drummoyne. So New South Wales to make the final 243. Apologies for the stumbling and fumbling, but they've cut the broadcast to put a repeat of Friends on. The most overrated show in television history.
I don't
think
it is. And I think it kind of tells a story about your one-day competition.
It's not mine.
Well, not yours. Yeah, the people you're reading about, I apologise.
You don't think Friends is overrated?
No, I liked it. I kind of grew up with that. That Seinfeld, that was like, 90s.
Don't you ever compare Friends
No,
to
Seinfeld was better, but those
ever.
Were the, you know, those were the, no, Seinfeld's number one. I'm with you with that
Friends,
one, Dan.
That, Friends that was only on too. Television because they were attractive people.
No, not all of them.
You watch it now, you see. Come on.
Some of the girls were, but not some of the guys. I mean, they were well average. I'm just telling my opinion, that's all.
I'm telling you, they were only on because they were good-looking.
No, it was a good show, buddy. It doesn't go for that long if it wasn't a good show.
Yeah, because they were good-looking people.
Yeah, you're in a minority.
Let me get to a couple of sporting things. Now, I know we've dealt with these things during the week, but I think you bring a unique perspective.
Yes.
We've spoken a lot about Michael Clarke's interviews and his revelations about things that happened in the dressing room. Now, let's be clear. Michael is not the first person to talk about it. No, this is almost commonplace now.
To be fair, in any sport.
But it's a big thing in cricket now where whatever happens in the dressing room now seems to be public domain. Give it 2 or 3 years air and then it's basically anything goes. Mm. How do you feel about dressing room activities now becoming public knowledge?
Well, I don't like it, but I was brought up in a different way. But the funny thing is, the guy who basically brought me up in football, Sir Alex Ferguson, was the worst. I mean, he released 2 autobiographies which were just ridiculous, you know, full of falsehoods and things that were said about other people, basically in bitterness, especially the first one that he wrote. I think it was 1999-2000. You know, so some of these treatment of his like old players or coaches that he had, Gordon Strachan, Brian Kidd, who used to be his assistant, which is very vindictive. So he was the one who used to always go, keep your mouth shut and this, that and the other. Then he was the one who basically then let it all out. So look, you never know somebody's personal circumstance. I would assume, and remember, assumption is, as they say, the mother of all stuff-ups, but I am assuming that Michael Clark would be pretty comfortable, so it wouldn't have been a reason financially for him to release the book, but you don't 100%.
It might have been a cathartic thing for him.
I don't know, but then go see a psychiatrist then. I did not like seeing him, basically, regardless of what, having a go at, say, like Shane Watson, somebody he's basically grown up with. I don't think that was necessary, that's all, but we live in a free society. You're entitled to have your words, but put it this way, anyone who does release a book, forget about in the future people sharing their confidence with you. Put it that way, because for me personally, I said being brought up, although being brought up by that man, the dressing room was supposed to be sacred. But now a lot of us who got brought up like that realize why he wanted it sacred, so he can make money from his book. But that's just me personally. That's what I see. A lot of people ask me, you know, even during my, why haven't you written a book and this stuff? Because I don't think it's the right thing to do, nor do I think it's the right thing to do when you're still basically in the public eye, and which Michael Clark is going to be as well. So it can only okay. cause more problems.
I'll
you know,
put this,
what's Phil Gould's one? You know, what can possibly come good out of being out at night after 12 o'clock? What can possibly come good from releasing basically dressing room secrets other than mistrust?
Well, because those dressing room secrets, for instance, the incident with Simon Kadich.
Yeah.
Simon spoke about it last year. Everyone knows right. that something happened between okay. the two. So it's not
Simon,
as if he.
So
had,
when Simon came out and spoke about it, why didn't he reply? He just should have replied. So, well,
this
that's
is
Simon.
Your reply now.
Oh, damn.
Here's his reply a year later.
A year later, okay. All right, basically. All right. So, okay, fair enough. Look, like I said, me from a different world, I don't know in Australian cricket whether or not they make enough money, so maybe they don't, so they have to write books. But from, say, the Premier League world, there's no real excuse, especially now, to come out and divulge dressing room secrets. That's why everybody was quite astonished with Sir Alex when he came out and did it.
Okay, let me present you with a hypothetical.
Yeah.
Let's say you're at work at Fox. Yep. Nick Kyrgios is in there doing something, and yeah. he bumps into you and he says, "Boz, you've been through the ups and downs. Mm. What advice would you give me?"
Nick Kyrgios, right this moment in time, take time out, which is basically what he's been forced to do. Find somebody, not necessarily an ex-tennis player, but just find somebody who cares about you, Nick Kyrgios, the person, that you can unload a whole lot of stuff. And also, just to realise this, that hopefully that person will tell him this. Not everybody, well, not all of us can be world's number one, okay? There's a whole lot of you're number 14 in the world. It is a great achievement. There are going to be times when you lose, and there are going to be times when you win. But when you lose, don't make it worse by basically sort of trying to make it into some type of, you know, it's basically making it a smokescreen. You lost. Even the best players in the world lose. It's the way they return which sets them aside. Okay, and that type of behaviour. I mean, I heard Todd Rubich the other day speaking on another radio station saying, "Well, deep down, he wants to be liked. If he really wants to be liked, if that's his ultimate aim, he's going about the completely wrong way because he's pretty much lost all of Australia right as it stands. And is that a way of basically pushing people away? If it is, well, then you know he's got to think about the consequences of that because tennis is a very short career.
When you say he should find someone that he trusts and unload, who
close to the family,
about?
Somebody I would say close to the family,
not a psychiatrist or a psychologist.
Well, you can trust them because they're under the confidentiality right. oath that they can go. Somebody can just offload the problem. So, what is it, buddy? Is it because basically all throughout your youth you weren't, you know, it was kind of Bernard Tomich at everybody, and all of a sudden you came from nowhere. Now all of a sudden this pressure's right on you. Is it because you haven't expected it, or because it's too much for you? It's closeted in you. It's making you feel that you have to come out and do this type of stuff. Don't you feel worthy enough? What is it? Just to get to the bottom of it, because it's just ridiculous. And you know what? And I've said this before on the back page. I don't even really like talking about it because, you know, it's not really worth talking about. And he's just digging himself deeper and deeper. Now, he said in the press conference the other day, if you don't like it to the press, yeah, fine. I don't owe you anything. You know what? So fine. And he's right. He doesn't owe us anything. But guess who he owes? He owes himself.
Well, doesn't he owe the fans that pay money?
No. He owes himself and his own family.
If I pay money to go and see someone be an entertainer, which I am by paying for,
yeah, but
aren't I owed his best?
You are definitely owed his best, as we've seen by the ATP.
His attitude is, well, I'm...
No, you're definitely owed his best under their laws of the ATP, but that's why they suspended him. But remember, in terms of tennis, you're going there not just to see Nick Kyrgios. Right, you're going there to see a whole lot of other players.
I understand, but his attitude is
14 in the world.
His attitude is, I think, when I unravel, you're getting a hell of a show. Okay, you're not seeing me play at my best, but you're getting...
You're not. At the, like I said, he's right. He doesn't... But you know what? He owes himself and his family, more importantly, because they have to live here.
Well, anyway, I do hope he ignores Jimmy Connor's overtures to coach him. Jimmy reached out to Nick on Twitter.
Well, you know what? He could do a lot worse than
that,
buddy.
He's one of the most... Have you seen the Jimmy Connor's 30 for 30?
Not yet.
One of the most selfish athletes you will ever see.
All right, but listen to me, okay? That's been and gone. So maybe by going through that, he knows the pitfalls to avoid, okay? So sometimes when you go through and you have bad times, I had a very bad time at the end of my career with drugs. So a lot of people say, well, who are you, Mark, to tell people about drug abuse? Well, I am, because I know about it, because I went through it.
And without giving an identity away, who did you confide in? Who did you... Where was your release? Was it partner?
I did. There was somebody in London, but it was a weird way. We'll have to take the whole episode how we actually met, because the way we actually met was, we'll put it like this, it was going to be conflict. And then he realised that I was half decent and probably thought that as well, that he was going to have his handful if he wanted to take the bozo on. And then he ended up being a friend. There you go.
Oh, that...
How's that?
I want to know more.
Maybe off air,
Let
buddy.
The record show you brought this up, not me.
I did. Let the record state that.
This is the Rush Hour for Sportsbet's Racing Form. More after this.
Guys, thanks for listening to the podcast. We did mention at the start of the show that we've been handed an incredible deal from Ovo Mobile. So if you switch to Ovo Data SIM, you're going to get 50 gig for $59.95 on 4G. And this is going to change how you enjoy listening to music, video, sport, all the stuff you do on your mobile device with nothing more than a new SIM. And get this, just for you, for listening right now, Ovo will give you the first month at half price. Let's do some math. Let's work that out. A whole month to enjoy 50 gig on 4G for just $29.95, then $59.95 after that. So there's no contract, and Ovo will instantly upgrade your plan to any better offers they release as part of their More for Fans promise. And with 50 gig, you can afford to catch up with us more often. Open your browser now and get on at ilovedata.com.au. 50 gig for $59.95 on 4G, and then half price for the first month. ilovedata.com.au. Now let's get back to the show.
Yeah, the tweets are coming in thick and fast. They're all on my side, Boz.
Yeah,
Mick,
there's
I'm with
one
you.
Here from... Do you really want this guy on your side? Just to let you know, he's called Badfish from the Gong.
With
if you,
you
want
mate.
Him, you can have him.
With you, mate. Friends was and still is a terrible, terrible show. Mick, I'm with you. Friends is overrated. Craig, honestly, you have said something I've been thinking for years. Friends is overrated.
I think you've won this one, buddy.
It's not funny.
No, I just think you've won this battle with the Bozo. But just the last one as well from Matt Jessup. What was in that cigar this morning, Boz?
That's the most pertinent question of the day.
It was tobacco, Matt.
Yeah, you're very excited, though, tonight.
Oh, I know.
I like it.
I'm up and down. I'm like a yo-yo. I'm mellowing, then I'm going up, then back down, and all. That's the way he's got to be.
He's one of our favourite funny bits.
Now on the Rush Hour, when coaches attack.
NFL coach Jim Mora.
Well, what happened was that second game, we got our ass kicked. Or the second half, we just got our ass totally kicked. We couldn't do diddly poo offensively. We couldn't make a first down. We couldn't run the ball. We didn't try to run the ball. We couldn't complete a pass. We sucked. The second half, we sucked. We couldn't stop the run. Every time they got the ball, they went down and got points. We got our ass totally kicked in the second half. That's what it boiled down to. It was a horse performance in the second half. Horse. I'm totally embarrassed and totally ashamed. Coaching did a horrible job. The players did a horrible job. We got our ass kicked in that second half. It sucked. It stunk.
The Rush Hour.
Why can't our press conferences be like that? We got rugby league news today.
Them?
Dragons,
they come anytime
the
they
Broncos, and the Rabbitohs all announcing signings today. And we'll hear from Tiger Woods. Fascinating interview he gave. Rush Hour, Triple M.
The Triple M Rush Hour podcast brought to you by Sportsbet's new racing form. With animated speed maps, runner comments and expert tips, courtesy of Best Bets. Gamble responsibly.
Yes, indeed. It is the Rush Hour. Almost done for another week. And we do it for Sportsbet's new racing form with animated speed maps and expert tips from Best Bets. But please gamble Marvelous. Responsibly.
Do you gamble responsibly, Dan, when you do gamble?
I told you off here, and I said this on yesterday. I did bet on Canberra Olympic against Sydney FC.
Very good.
I've never felt so dirty after a win.
It doesn't matter. You win. You won?
Yeah, I bet 3-0, but I've never felt so disgusted with myself.
And by the way, it's flown by. Look, it's already 6:29. Look at that.
Will you be having an investment on the Cox Plate tomorrow?
I won't. No, I won't. I don't like having investments on horses. I don't know enough about it.
Yeah, very good. Yeah. All right, let's do this.
Tyres and More. Buy three tyres, get one free.
Right now.
This is the Triple M Rush Hour.
Live.
Sports update.
Joel Kane will join us from Sportsbet a little later. Matador Cup update. New South Wales will need 243 to beat Victoria at Drummoyne Oval. The winner plays Queensland on Sunday at North Sydney. Good signing for the Dragons, with the club confirming the purchase of Raiders prop Paul Vaughan for 3 years.
Paul Vaughan's coming back.
They need a bit of oomph, wow. The Dragons, and he should provide it. Yeah. So everyone might be a winner there. Meantime, South have locked in hooker Damien Cook until the end of the 2019 season. Now, this is a very interesting commitment.
They've got Robbie Farah as well.
They've got Robbie Farah for a couple of years.
Two players for each position, obviously.
No. Two players for each position. Oh, yeah, well,
squad-wise, two players for each
position. Well, Robbie's getting older, so he's not going to be an 80-minute player. Mm. So
no, with internationals, the state of origins. And
yeah,
all that.
So it's intelligent, but it's a commitment they've made to Damien Cook. Australia's Diamonds got one over New Zealand again, winning a fourth straight Constellation Cup with victory yesterday. No Quade Cooper for tomorrow's final, Bledisloe. Not in the starting side anyway. Bernard Foley goes back to fly half, and rookie Reece Hodge.
Think they can win that one?
We'll start in a test for the first time.
I reckon they're going to break the hoodoo.
In inside centre.
I really do. 30 years, I reckon they're going to do
it. 1.5 start.
All right, well, I may have an investment, inverted commas, as you said, on that. I really do think tomorrow's I've got a feeling about it.
I hope so.
You can ring me tomorrow.
I hope so.
when it's 40-0, 10 to go, you can give me a call,
and
buddy.
Tiger Woods has spoken about his struggles to return somewhere near his best. Here he explains why he pulled out of last week's planned return.
It's a hard realization knowing that, you know, I'm not scoring like I should be. My feel for hitting, you know, 150-yard 7-irons and taking stuff off of it, or jumping on a 9-iron and hitting the correct distance, shaping shots, that all that stuff, I kind of lost the feel of that. In my heart of hearts, I knew that I couldn't go out there and shoot 63s and 64s. And trust me, as a competitor, it doesn't feel very good.
Do you believe you'll get 18 majors?
To be honest with you, no.
You don't?
No.
You've accepted that?
I've accepted I'm going to get more.
You're 40.
Yes.
Jack won the Masters when he was 46.
46, correct.
But you got to get started soon.
Whether soon or not, it's I need to get started.
That was brilliant. That was absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, everyone's ears pricked up, didn't they?
On two different levels. We're talking about him before. Nick Kyrgios should listen to that. He's saying in his heart of hearts and how difficult it was when he couldn't hit that ball. When you get to that stage, and look, it was when I finished my career, it was terrible because it wasn't nothing to do. Like I said, it was something off the pitch. But the one thing I didn't have to go through was that. I don't think there'd be no worse feeling for an athlete to be able to know that I used to be able to do that certain stage at that time while you're still playing. But all the very best to him to get those 18 majors.
You played for Central Coast. How old were you?
I came back in 2008, so 36.
Okay. And it was seen, I think, as a successful comeback, but weren't Premier League.
No, I was really nervous before that game.
So how was that, knowing that you've got a job to do, but you know you're not the player you used to be?
Yeah, not good. And that's when you realise, you say, okay, look, in team sports in general, it's your pride that you're going to lose, which for me is massive. But then you think to yourself, what about boxers and that who come back at that stage? They come up again. You're talking about your health there. Yeah. It's a terrible feeling. Terrible, terrible feeling.
All right. And he hasn't played Tiger for now, I think, 15 months.
Wow. Okay. And how many majors has he got?
14. Hasn't won one. You know the last one he won?
He has to win another five to say that's it. No chance.
I'm with you. The last one he won was 2008 when he had a broken knee at the US Open. Yeah. I don't know if you remember. He had to make a long putt to go into a playoff. Yep. He had a busted leg, won it.
Yep.
And could you believe he has not won one since 8 years ago? That was a
He had a terrible breakup, didn't he, with his wife too. That's obviously played a major part in it. I think he lost his father as well.
And his back, I think, has decided to give out.
Give out.
You don't hear many players recover from a busted back. Once their back starts to go in any sport, you don't often hear them get back to anywhere near their best. It's a sports update for Tyres and More.
Okay, Tyres and More. Let's go.
We got a news update after this with Jeff, and then we're going to talk a bit of football with Boz. Rush Hour, Triple M.
The Triple M Rush Hour podcast brought to you by Sportsbet's new racing form. With animated speed maps, runner comments and expert tips, courtesy of Best Bets. Gamble responsibly.
Producer Tom's favourite song. It's the Rush Hour here on Triple M. We do it for Sportsbet's racing form.
Why'd you ever say that for?
Now, Boz, yes. The stuff you tell me off here, it's unbelievable.
I know. But it's all true.
You referred to some partnership you had. You still own
still
the cricket
got the
record.
State champ, yeah, we've got the state record, my cousin and I, for I think it's under 10s or under 11s opening partnership. None for 200 in 2 hours, buddy, against Moorbank for Preston's. How's that?
Okay. Yeah. Are you sure you still hold that record? How do you know you still hold that record?
Well, I'll check it tonight. I'm not so sure the officials that were doing those records back in the 80s are still
and I do.
Are living right now, but I will check it, yes.
And I do recall that you told me you could play cricket.
Yes.
And then I said to you in that wonderful song, I said, how far would you have gone if football didn't get in the way?
Yeah, minimum state of way. Minimum for my state. Minimum.
Sheffield Shield.
Minimum. They were so devastated when I said, I'm going to go play football in England. They were devastated.
Oh,
and as for rugby league, you would never have heard of Darren Lockyer or Brad Fittler if I decided to play rugby league.
Okay, now I know you're taking
the
piss.
No, I'm not. Ask him. Ask Brad Fittler. We used to play cricket together and Jason Taylor.
Okay, now how did they go on the cricket
field? Very good, very good.
You're telling Jason Taylor was a gun.
Yeah, no, he was a very good batsman.
Yeah.
Brad Fittler was like myself, all-rounder, could do everything, but very, very good. We won the like state competition for Southern Districts together. So there you go.
And you're, a swashbuckling opening batsman?
Me? No, I was everything. Whatever you wanted me to be.
Okay.
I could adapt.
I want to take you seriously.
I'm being serious. I'm just telling the truth. What do you want me to lie and say I was average? I was brilliant.
This is eating into our football chat. Who's looking good? I won't ask you who's going to win the Premier League. That's a dumb question. Who's looking good?
Melbourne City.
I meant the Premier League, but we'll go with the A-League.
The Premier League. Manchester City, just like last season, have had a massive wobble.
Okay.
First seven games they won, and they haven't won one game in four. They got trounced in the week by Barcelona in the Champions League, which will be interesting to see what type of effect that'll have on. They're obviously still top of the table. I think Arsenal actually is looking good, but I don't want to say that just in case Gers is listening to it because he'll be doing handstands and like 50 push-ups in 10 seconds or something.
A-League,
but Melbourne City, I must say, look, Brisbane Roar for me was the catalyst of the best football that I've ever seen in Australian football. That was back in 2011 when they had Ange Postecoglou. But these first 2 weeks, I've seen a team that could actually, I think, not only be comparable to them, but eclipse them in Melbourne City. Timmy Cahill coming back has obviously made a massive difference, but some of the other players they've got, the young Fornaroli, the two Argentinians, Galazzo and Brandon, some of the young Australians that they've got, Caceres, Luke Bratton, even the boy in goal who's come in, Dean Bazan, this young Australian boy, but absolutely outstanding. They were just a joy to watch last week in that derby win against Melbourne Victory. There were times I was actually in the commentary box with Archie Thompson and Josh Kennedy. I was trying to talk and I was going, guys, I don't want to be rude, but I'm actually just really enjoying watching this. They're playing tonight against Perth.
Yeah.
We'll be live on Fox Sports 4 from 7 o'clock and it's also will be shown on SBS 2 as well tonight on Friday night game.
The Cahill factor.
Huge.
Now, without going into all the technicalities you were going with off air, but it has made a massive improvement in ratings. There is a genuine Cahill factor.
Yeah, huge. We're already 50% up.
Right.
I don't know if it's this time last year. I think on last year's
do
average.
Do you think it'll,
the games are the games are averaging as high as they're pretty much ever rated? And on Friday night, both SBS and us are getting over 100,000.
Do you think, because the A-League does something very intelligent, they front load. You always get a Sydney derby early and a Melbourne derby early, so that's going to increase the crowds and the ratings. Mm. Will that hold?
In terms of the crowds, I mean, it's very difficult to hold on to.
We're not going
to
get 60,000.
62,000. But you'd like to think so. I think definitely with the ratings. I mean, there wasn't a person in the country that I spoke to last week who wasn't going to tune in and watch Tim Cahill at one stage, whatever it be, for 10 minutes, 15 minutes, or 20 minutes. If they keep playing football like they did, after people watched that last, it was so important for him to score that world-class goal.
Unbelievable.
And for them to play like they
did. It's like a Hollywood script.
It was. So after watching that, I'd be like, I want to see this again. They just played really, really nice football. There's the bigger worry for me is not that. It's actually that I saw last week a few tackles going in that I want the referees to clamp down on immediately. A little bit like with your sport, with rugby league, you know, how they clamp down because I want, you know, let's be honest, people come to see the flair players.
Yes.
With a few exceptions, but they come to see the flair players.
He just pointed out.
No, in general they do, and I don't want them being basically kicked out of the game by some silly tackles. There was two bad tackles on the last Friday night from the Wanderers, and there was a few other ones which I saw creeping in. I don't want to see that. I want the flair players, the players of ability that bring people in from all corners of the country being able to strut their stuff.
Very quickly, that Cahill strike was beautiful.
I don't think the goalkeeper would have saved it if it was on his line.
I was going to say, would you have been embarrassed to be the goalkeeper?
No, because it went basically right in the top corner.
Mm.
I think you probably might have felt a little bit responsible because it's a little bit off his line, but he just struck it sweetly. And I was watching it again last night. We had it on our show on Thursday night, and it basically nearly went in the top corner. So I think he really would have struggled, even if he was on his line perfectly positioned for the shot. Yeah. to save that. It was outstanding. So, you know, let's hope, like I said, that he's galvanised not only that team, but I think he's galvanised this league. But them and Sydney FC as well. I should mention them because they've had an outstanding start. 4-0, 4-0, 3-0 against Canberra, like you said, in the FA. They're in the FFA Cup final. Graham Arnold's got on firing, but they've got a tough trip away this week to Wellington.
Okay, this is the Rush Hour on Triple M.
The Triple M Rush Hour podcast brought to you by Sportsbet's new racing form with animated speed maps, runner comments and expert tips, courtesy of Best Bets. Gamble responsibly.
Producer Thomas told me to take this call here.
Yes.
Now, you made some outrageous claims about
they
the prowess
outrageous.
Of your cricket career.
They
now, I'm
outrageous.
Told this gentleman is called Craig, and he's on the line. Hello, Craig.
G'day, guys. How are you going?
How are you? We're good. How
it's
are you associated
you know, I know
with
who
the
it
boss?
Is. It'll be Craig Matthews. How you yes, going, Craig?
Okay, who's Craig Matthews?
He was one of my ex-coaches at Mount Pritchard. Thank you very much.
Okay, is Boz as good as he says he was?
Probably better, mate.
Oh, no,
this is bullshit. You no, text him.
I have not
you
text
have texted him.
Thanks, Craig. Thank you very much. No, I really appreciate that. Yes?
I haven't talked to Bozo for about, I don't know, what, 30 years?
Yes, at least.
And, yeah, it was my dad and myself who used to coach Mount Pritchard.
Yes, yeah.
And he used to open a bowling, top order batsman. He used to open a bowling, and then when he stopped bowling, he used to go wicketkeeper.
There we go. So there you go. So how's that?
Was he? I can believe that. Yes. So that part I can believe. You're a man for all seasons.
Yes.
Could he have played for New South Wales Sheffield Shield?
Easy.
Oh,
I can't. Thank you very much, Craig. He's just telling
believe.
The truth, by the way.
Okay, I have to believe
it. And his late father, Mr. Matthews, was absolutely fantastic. He'd come and pick me up after school in the afternoon to take me to training all the time. It was brilliant.
Good on you, Craig. Well, I believe you. I've got no
Thanks,
choice.
Thanks, Craig, and love to the family. Thank you very much.
Joel Kane, who I'm sure could have played Sheffield Shield for New South Wales as well, as on the line, or for Queensland. Hello, Joel.
Hello, gentlemen. How you doing?
Do you believe the story about Boz and his cricket prowess? I do feel like we've been stitched up a little with that call, but he did seem genuine, Craig.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll tell you this, right? My mum tells everyone, right, that, you know, Joel had to choose between playing cricket and rugby league. But I can tell you what, I was an average rugby league player and I was a bloody even worse cricketer. There you go.
Yeah, there's a little bit of a difference there, Joel. That was your mother, not somebody who just rang out of the blue.
No, that's okay. You know
give us the odds, buddy. Stick to the job. Don't spoil
it. Hang on.
No, he's there
like
trying to
Joel,
spoil it.
No, we like Joel because he can actually have a conversation with us.
I love Joel too.
And hey, Boz.
Very rude.
You know what they're fighting for tomorrow for the Cox plate aside from the $3 million?
What?
For the rest of their life, they can say, I wasn't average but brilliant.
There you go.
All right. Okay.
That was enlightening. Thank you.
Now, this mega bet, a bit of
I'm hungry
he's
too.
A friend
I don't
of
want
the
to,
show.
I just feel so happy I'm floating after Craig Matthews' call. I don't want anything to take away from that.
Okay, well, you're the one spoiling it by being rude to our guest.
Rude, I think, is a little bit strong. But anyway, Joel, can we get on with you? Sorry about Dan. Can we get on with the mega bet?
Now, there's been some ambitious mega bets with the big favourite having to win by a certain length. Well, it's gone off the last 2 weeks, and you're doing it again tomorrow, Joel.
Yeah, keep in mind this, Dan. So Winks won the Cox plate by almost 5 lengths last year, including beating in the major contender this year, Hartnell, by about 10 lengths. Mm. Could that possibly be reversed? I don't know about that, but Winks to win by 2 lengths or more, paying $4, $4 is the price. When you think she's into $1.80 now, $4 and the max bet is $50. So as Boz has been lining outside this crease for me and launching into me, the punter's been launching into these mega bets.
There you go. Now, have been winning hands down.
I'm going to launch into you again, Joel, to change sports onto football. My tip for the title, and this was before last week, is Melbourne City. Can you give me anything from the odds point of view to go against
notice.
That?
$4.50 to win the title.
You can't
They're $1.53 tonight. Timmy Cahill, $6 to be the first goal scorer.
Wow. Okay, and what about a bet, say, Tim Cahill to score the first goal and Melbourne City to go on to win?
Look, it's about you can walk a horse to the water, you can make him drink it. I reckon you've got to go to the app for that one.
Yeah,
there.
That's coming.
All right, fair enough. No, I just wanted to make sure.
That bet is there, by the way, okay. So you can bet. There's a heap of markets on that game, 123 markets to be precise. But, geez, you're testing Joel today.
I am. I'm going to test him.
You want to know the honest truth, Bosby? The mouse, the little pad on the mouse has stopped on me. I can't move the bloody thing.
There you go, mate. And listen, and for our Sydney teams, I want you to give me the odds for Sydney FC and Western Sydney Wanderers, please.
Sydney FC and... No, as I said, this pad, you've got to go to the app.
I got it. I'll save you. Sydney
FC. You'll find there as well. You'll find the best bets form, Bozza. That's the place to go for the best bets form.
Well, see, we got that out of you. That was great for our listeners.
And it is very good, that best bets. I've used it myself. It's there at the bottom of the page I use.
See these questions I asked? You should be asking this now.
Well, you had nothing to do with it.
I did. All these listeners now know where they can go.
He actually had to just change subject because you were trying to trip him up. Sydney FC, $1.91 against Wellington, Sunday afternoon. And the Wanderers. Are the Wanderers playing Sunday night?
Yeah, first game ever at Spotless. So that's going to be interesting.
Terrible time slot. $1.78, draw $3.70, Newcastle $4.50.
Wow.
We got to go.
Do we?
Sportsbet.com.au.
We should do an extra half an hour. Thanks, Joel.
Thank you, Joel. We'll talk to you tomorrow. This has been The Legends. You have a great weekend, Boz.
You too, Dan. Thank you.
The Triple M Rush Hour podcast brought to you by Sportsbet's new racing form. With animated speed maps, runner comments and expert tips, courtesy of Best Bets. Gamble responsibly.